Hey everyone, my name's Brandon. I'm here with Joey, Patrick, and of course Megan. And we are doing this week's weekly reflections. We are coming to you from Stone Valley Recovery, a local sober living that has been gracious enough to allow us to use their facilities, and we're grateful for that. So October the 11th, self-restraint. Our first objective will be the development of self-restraint. 12 steps and 12 traditions, page 91. My drive to work provides me with an opportunity for self-examination. One day while making this trip, I began to review my progress in sobriety and was not happy with what I saw. I hoped that as the work day progressed, I would forget these troublesome thoughts, but as one disappointment after another kept coming, my discontent only increased and the pressures within me kept mounting. I retreated to an isolated table in the lounge and asked myself how I could make the most of the rest of the day. In the past, when things went wrong, I instinctively wanted to fight back. But during the short time I had been trying to live the AA program, I learned to step back and take a look at myself. I recognized that although I was not the person I wanted to be, I had learned to not react in my old ways. Those old patterns of behavior only brought sorrow and hurt to me and to others. I returned to my workstation, determined to make the day a productive one, thanking God for the chance to make progress that day.
Self-restraint is an excellent topic. When I get to writing, I don't know if this happens for you guys, but writing for me, and the reason it's so highly encouraged for a lot of our step work, is it kind of takes all that chaos and insanity and all those weird feelings out of things that you might be thinking. Like if I write something down and get it out there instead of in here, it feels like a little weight is lifted for me in a sense. But I don't always do that first, and I don't always exercise self-restraint. I feel so injured or so harmed in a moment that my alcoholic reaction is to defend myself. It kind of feels like lashing out, or the restraint isn't always there yet. We are kind of highly sensitive. We're sober and we're alcoholic, and I still am hypersensitive to things and to people and to the way, and not even to what you say, it's how you say it and what you mean and what are the intentions. And I'm so careful with what I say today that I think that I might over-exercise self-restraint in some forms where it looks like then I just don't say anything. Because I'm not quite sure what the balance is yet for when do I speak up and when do I hold my tongue. And that for me feels a little bit like powerlessness today. Patrick had touched on before about control being, without drugs, control is my drug of choice. I want to be in control of all things. I want to be in control of my feelings and your feelings and the world's feelings and how this whole situation happens and how I'll feel at the end of it. And that's just a lot of thinking. That's a lot of thinking that happens. That control, it'll kill me just like the drink or the drug will kill me. That need for that control, it can manifest in such ugly ways. I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore, you know? Like, I'm just, it's all powerless, and it's all right back at that point where, like, I might as well be loaded, but I'm not, right? I'm just not safe and sane and sober, all of those things at the same time. And so self-restraint, I would love to get some additional feedback because I don't think I have anywhere near mastered the art of self-restraint.
It's difficult, and I don't know that I would the reading says self. I don't know that it has any self to do with it when it comes to me. I was given a promise that I would pause when agitated, and sometimes I do if I'm in the right spot, and many times I have some scathing words for people that were meant to hurt their feelings. I can't say I didn't mean to. I said the words. I wrote the words, I typed the words, what have you, whatever. I have my opinions, they came out my mouth, and I must not have been in a great place. But, you know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the ninth step. at ad nauseum. And we actually have a fail safe to that. If I do say something hurtful, I'm not going to go to that person and say, I didn't mean that, but I will go to that person and attempt to make an amends. I'm sorry that I went after a particular insecurity you might have had. I was in this place this year, or this place at this time, and that's why I said it. It doesn't make it right. I'm going to try to make sure that I don't do that again to you in the future. So we do actually have that nice little fallback when we can't practice self-restraint. You know, when I don't pause when agitated, when I don't run a resentment and a turnaround through my head, when I don't pray for a moment, when I don't count to 10, whatever the exercise that you might use or that I might use at the time, when I don't do that, that's when I typically am going to owe an amends to somebody. And the having to owe an amends, it means, you know, it also helps me not say things like that, because there I am again in that same position, trying to get the courage and having the anxiety over sitting down with somebody and having that conversation. So of course it makes my life a smidge easier if I don't say it, but when I do, I still have a backup plan. And I didn't come up with the backup plan, the steps did, and the people who wrote it, and my higher power allows me to follow through with it. So, you know, self-restraint in itself is something I don't necessarily have, but I am able to slow myself down and respond as opposed to react immediately, which is huge, has been huge in my recovery.
The way I see it is like, how am I going to be a master at self-restraint when I'm more so a master at being passive-aggressive and not biting the bullet when something bothers me? You know what I mean? Those are the things that I've mastered in my life. So being like self-restraint, you know, that's brand new to me, and it'll always be new to me. And I have improved in ways where, like, yeah, man, I'll bite my tongue a lot. You know what I mean? When I hear things that I don't like or whatever, if my ego gets, you know, wrestled up a little bit, you know, all these things. But I fall short all the time when it comes to self-restraint. You know, I always fall short in a. You know, not even in ways that I have to, you know, make an amends, but, like, I just find myself in situations where I'm like, dang, like, you know, I was a little bit too honest, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I wasn't, like, the approach was very aggressive. And self-restraint is hard, man. Self-restraint is hard. It's so hard that it's hard to talk about, you know, because I'm like, I still feel like I know nothing about it. I know that it's, you know, probably better to work on for me, but the reality of it is that, like, you know, being able, yeah, I don't know, self-restraint is a difficult one for me.
I know today that I am nowhere near where I was,
right.
Yes. Because I have reassessed situations after I've looked back on, you know, interactions with people or, you know, especially. A little service project, I like to call it, that I have in addition, or job, if you will, in addition to my primary source of income. There are people can talk to me in certain ways, and I know that I would have, they wouldn't have been standing. They would have found themselves getting up off the floor had they caught me before I got sober. However, today, because I know people use self-restraint to me when I first came into the rooms, they had to, because I was a mess. But I get to use that today. And, you know, Patrick, like you said, I absolutely hate making amends. I cannot stand the process of it. I hate it. It's grueling. And so today I really try to, like, I've said that to myself many times. No, don't go up to that person and say that. No, don't react this way, because then you're going to have to make an amends. And nobody likes that. I think the whole... you know, it says it in the towards the end of this reading. He thanked God for the chance to make progress that day. I think that's what we have to, you know, circle it back around to. You know, it's progress, not perfection. I was at a convention a couple of weeks ago, and I attended a workshop, and a lady there said, anytime we get upset, It's a chance for us to look at ourselves. You know, I have to ask myself many, many times, what character defect is this person or this situation or this thing arising out of me that I have to look at, and I have to, you know, work the steps on that. I don't know who I compare myself, my amount of self-restraint. What am I comparing it to? I have no idea. I know that it's not where it was, and I'm not anywhere near where I was, and I've made a lot of progress today. But I get to take real and honest looks at myself today. You know, I get to give myself some self-appraisals. And sometimes they're lacking from what I want them to be, but I have to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that I'm not drinking, I'm not using, and I'm in a hell of a lot better place than what I used to be.
And the beauty is you know, we might bite our tongue and not say anything at all, but we have a fallback for that too. Instead of a ninth, we'll do a fourth or a tenth, where we're going to run a resentment and a turnaround. It's what it says. We have a chance to make today productive. And what is that? It's looking back and finding that pattern or that character defect that we can remember finding out about in our fourth step or our sixth and seventh step, and seeing that that is where this is all coming from. This happened. This has been a part of me since I was 8 years old, and then again when I was 12, 17, and three times when I was 21. And that's where it's coming from. Yeah. That's why it rose up antipathy in me. So now we have people to call. We have a process to work through. We have things that we can do to lighten the load on either way. I mean, it goes from a selfless to selfish cycle. And regardless, it leaves us in a position where we're not hurting the other person, and if we are, we're able to make that amends properly and not just say sorry.
The way, like, what the way you put it, it could be, it's as simple as that for me. Like, that's where I see the progress in, because, like, I'm definitely far from where I was when I walked into this program.
Yeah.
I'm definitely far from where I was where I walked in the rooms, but I know I'm not exactly where I want to be at, but I'm far from where I used to be at. And, you know, I've had those moments where even, you know, if I've acted out in a way that I don't agree with, or I find that's, you know what I mean, it was unnecessary, it was whatever. I call my sponsor, and, you know, he kind of just sets it up for me like that, like, to where it's like so simple. Like, he's like, but did you hit this person? No. There's some progress right there. You know what I mean? Like,
but did they die?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, the old Joey would have drilled that guy. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, you know what? You're right. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, and he's just like, you can't beat yourself up so much about little things. Like, these things are gonna happen. You know, we're not only human beings, we're alcoholics at that. You know, so it's like, we're on top of the chain of that one. So I guess, you know, I guess it is something that is always going to be worked on, you know what I mean? But it's, I like that. I like to look at it like that.
I don't know. Maybe you guys have heard something that you has struck a chord with you or that you relate to. You can always check us out on detoxtorehab.com. There's plenty of resources there for you if you need help. Definitely reach out. And thanks for being with us. I want to thank Megan and Patrick and Joey. And thank you guys. And you can always join us next week for more fun stuff.